It's time to take off your clothes, enjoy clothes-free living, and join us for Naked, Nudist, and Naturist.
Welcome to Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, the show that celebrates clothes-free living for all. I'm your host, Frank Stone.
And I'm your correspondent, Lisa Monroe, and I'll be reporting on all things within the naturist community. So it's time to get naked and join us.
And enjoy clothes-free living on Naked, Nudists, and Naturists. Well, greetings and welcome in to Naked, Nudists, and Naturists, episode 41 today. We thank you for being with us. We look forward to this time together. We know that you do too. Clothes-free living for all of the right reasons together for the next hour. How about that? Well, come on in. The pool is fine. The hot tub is going. The grill is going full blast. Fruit and vegetables off to the right. Your cold beverage off to the left. Hot drinks inside. Coffee, tea, etc. We have extra towels and suntan lotion. Just come on in. Come on in and enjoy clothes-free living for all of the right reasons. The only thing we ask in return is give us a review and a rating and subscribe on Spotify, Apple, and YouTube, preferably Apple and YouTube. Those seem to be the go-to places, but just a quick review, a quick rating. 5 is the highest, by the way, just putting it out there. Apple, Spotify, YouTube, rate, review, subscribe. That's all we ask in return. Just take a few moments, and we appreciate that in advance. Well, another power-packed, highly filled content show today, beginning with Andy Rogers from WINR, Women in Nude Recreation, for the American Association of Nude Recreation. She and her husband, Tom, spent some time at the Glen Eden Sun Club. Andy is on her tour, the I Am Perfect Tour, and Tom is along for the ride, working hard as well, so both of them will have a report for us in just a moment. We will have a brief interview with Mike Discombe. Remember Fiona and Mike? Mike and Fiona? We had Fiona on a month or two ago, and now I have a short interview with Mike and a longer interview with Mike later in the summer. Lisa Monroe, of course, will be here. We'll talk to her for a bit. And part two of my interview with highly terrific and very prolific author, writes everything, including naturist fiction, Paul Z. Walker. He and Ted Bunn and Will Forrest do those anthologies as well. So part two of my interview with Paul Z. Walker. But let's kick off today's show with the latest report from Andy Rogers and her husband, Tom.
Hi, this is Andy.
And this is Tom on the Winter on Wheels I'm Perfect Tour.
Glen Eden Sun Club was an absolute surprise for both Tom and I, as it's our first time here. We knew it was a resort with lots of amenities. However, we didn't realize to what extent those amenities would be. There's lots of pools, pickleball courts, tennis courts, but there's always something happening almost every day of the week, bringing people together in this community. You name it, they've got it. Karaoke, poker, water aerobics, meditation, Zumba, dance lessons. Tonight there's bunco, and there's so much more. So really something for everyone. When we arrived, we got a first-time visitor's welcome bag. On top of the information for the club for the weekend was a flyer for my workshop on Saturday, and they have just done an incredible job advertising for this event, which is likely why so many women came out Saturday afternoon. And I just really want to say a huge appreciation to Glen Eden for their efforts advertising for this event. So the room, they even set the room up for me. That's something new. It was so beautifully set up with bright colored tablecloths. Glen Eden provided a gorgeous sarong, a drink cup, and a nail file for all the women who attended. And I was thrilled to also have in the audience Linda Weber from Anner West. And you might know her from her social media accounts and as a very strong advocate for women and women's empowerment. So thanks for coming, Linda. I was really just so glad to meet her in person. We've done lots of work over Zoom and emails, but in person was wonderful. My talk begins with how much power words have on us. I listen to people, young and old alike, tell me I was ugly, stupid, unwanted, homely, and worthless as a little girl. And these words stuck with me throughout my childhood. They followed me into adulthood. So while sharing about the abuse that I went through as a little girl, I saw many heads nodding up and down and tears being wiped away. This always makes me sad because I know there are abuses that we share that connect us together. I shared many of my less than stellar moments as a mom and how my frustration with myself came out in anger. I was never really a truly happy person. I thought before I could be happy, I needed to attain perfection in body, in soul, in spirit, and I never did get there. That is, not until I became a nudist. It was a multiple step process and one that took years to achieve. And the women in my new nudist communities were instrumental in helping me see myself as a worthy, incredible, strong woman. And of course, my amazing husband, Tom, tells me that every day. And I want to thank him for that. I asked for my living art model, and Karen gladly raised her hand. By the time everyone had a chance to write their word of encouragement or empowerment on her body, she was completely covered in words such as dynamic, knowledge, amazing, a divine light, self-reliant, strong, brave, and so many more. So you'll have to go to the website to check it out. But wow, that's positive, powerful use of words. Afterwards, I had many women coming up to me telling me that I was telling their story. The circumstances are different, of course, but what they've been through, felt, heard, and experienced throughout their life, much the same. They thank me for being willing to share and for being a voice that they could not be.
Well, again, a great club. This club of, I think, about 1,500, not sure the exact amount, is definitely a resort for people that love being nude. We started our meeting with introductions of all of us, each talking about how we became nudist. Most of us at a young age, surprisingly. And other things we discussed was our first experience at the clubs and how we became involved with our community. This was a very active group of men, and I loved chatting with them. They were very aware of Anner, so we didn't talk about Anner a lot, which was great, because that felt really good that they were on top of that. They all were very thankful for Andy putting on her I'm Perfect workshop for the women here, getting a chance to just sit and talk about what we all love to do, be naked.
We enjoyed karaoke, which is a favorite, and spending time getting to know the people here at Glen Eden Sun Club. And as I'm writing, I hear the crack of the pickleball paddle, which is a hugely enjoyed sport by many here, which explains the 4 pickleball courts with more being built. Each person that passed by during our stay said hello or stopped to talk about the banners we set up during our visit. We look forward to being back in Southern California so we can come back and spend more time with this incredible community of people. Until next time, this is Andy.
And this is Tom, and we'll see you down the road.
And there you go, the latest report from Andy Rogers from WNR, Women in Nude Recreation, from the American Association of Nude Recreation. We thank Mitch London for putting her in that position, and what a great job she is doing on the I Am Perfect Tour with her husband, Tom. We'll have another report from Andy and Tom on next week's show. You are listening to Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, episode 41. Hope you're enjoying the show. Hope you're enjoying clothes-free living during the show for all of the right reasons. And now let's get to my brief interview with the very terrific Mike Discombe. He and his wife Fiona have the Narrowboat Hotel in the UK. My interview with Mike Discombe. So let's head over to the UK this morning. We're going to talk to Michael Discombe. You might remember we had his wife on the show back in February, Fiona Discombe. They own the Narrowboat Hotel, which is called the Whistling Swan. Mike couldn't make it that day, so we wanted to get him on for a short interview today. We'll have a longer interview with Mike down the road. But let's welcome to the show from the UK, Michael Discombe. Good morning, Mike. How are you today, sir?
Good morning. I'm good, thanks. Yeah, a bit cloudy and cold here. We like to talk about the weather first, so we'll get that out of the way.
That's true. A lot of rain and kind of damp and just chilly overall. That's what people basically say until it hits the summer, right?
briefly, that moment, that week, that 2 week window we get.
That's true. But you do get to get outside more than 1 or 2 weeks a year without your clothes, I hope.
Yes, yeah, we make sure of that. So yeah, whenever the sun's out, whenever we get an opportunity, we're out.
That's right. You know, I know a lot of folks, friends of mine in the naturist community, at one point they said if it's 60 degrees Fahrenheit or below, they are not going to be naked outside. Then you see them down the road, if it's 55 or below, I'm not going to be naked outside. And before you know it, if it's 40 below, they just keep lowering the bar because we want to be clothes free. So we make exceptions for it, right?
Yeah, yeah. We were lucky yesterday, although it was sort of 8-9 degrees, not sure what that is in Fahrenheit. But we had some, you know, half an hour outside naked out of the wind and the sun. It was lovely. So I think it depends on the situation as well. But as you said, a few years ago, it would be, no, it's 8 degrees, not going outside naked. Forget that.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Well, let's get into your backstory, if you don't mind. I know you were born and raised in Holland, and you kind of sort of lived the naturism life, but not really. I mean, when you went swimming, you took your clothes off. But maybe just tell us your background before we get to the point where you met Fiona.
Yeah. So even before that, I was born in Australia, and there I have happy memories of running around naked in the garden all the time, swimming there in the garden and everything. I think as any young child, if you get the opportunity to take your clothes off, you take it, I think. So, and I remember the shock of moving to Holland and it suddenly being cold and having to wear shoes and socks. What horrible things. And then in Holland, obviously their spa culture, etc., is very much nudity accepted. And when we went off with friends to go swimming at a river or something, it was quite normal to just strip off and go for a swim. And this was into our early teens. So although you'd say I was naturist, it wasn't really classed as naturist. It was just more the sensible thing to do, you know, go swimming. Yeah. Why bring a swimming costume? Just strip off, go for a swim. Yeah.
It makes so much sense. It's almost tough to put into words because it's like saying, you know, 1 + 1 = 2. How do you explain that to people the 100th time? It's, if you don't get it, you don't get it until you try it. You take one apple, you add another apple. Hey, I have 2 apples. Now I get it.
Yes.
It's almost that simple, isn't it?
It is. It's really simple. And it is amazing how many people get hung up on the idea of, oh, you know, the great line is, did we not start swimming until the swimming costume was invented? So,
right. Yeah. That's a very good point. I think the lakes and the oceans were used long before swimsuits were invented. I'm guessing you agree.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, in the UK, it's my understanding, talking to people over there, Fiona included, you can be nude outside as long as you're not doing anything of a wild or sexual nature. But you can go for a walk, you can work in your yard. That's basically still the case.
So, yeah, so that's the great thing about the UK. Being naked outside is perfectly legal. You may have heard of Victoria Bateman, who did a lot feminist work and lots of campaigning. She recently walked around Oxford naked with, well, she had a scarf and a handbag with her, which I thought was great. So that is the great thing. The problem we've got in the UK is the lack of understanding. People don't realize, including the police. So we've had incidents where police have come up to us and said, do you mind dressing? And we're sort of saying, well, why? Well, you're not allowed to be naked. And we carry around with us the British Naturism, have a little card which explains to them the legality of it. And we have to give police officers this from time to time.
Wow. Why do you think that is? Why wouldn't they have been educated by the people above them in law enforcement?
I'm not sure. I think it is becoming more prevalent now. I think the problem was until about 3-4 years ago, it was sort of, as naturists, we sort of hid away and we didn't want to be seen. We didn't want to, you know, let people into our lifestyle, and we just hide. And I think it's the same in America, that it's very much a secret society. And it's only in the last, I'd say, 5 years in the UK, there's a few of us that are campaigning and we are more visual, I think. We're in the news now. We put ourselves out there. We're more willing to take sort of the flack that comes back with being out there, I suppose, to promote our lifestyle and get it out there, as we're not a bunch of weirdos. I think in some ways we are the most sensible in a lot of ways.
That's exactly how I see it. And it's easy for me to say that, being a naturist / nudist, but it does make the most sense. Otherwise, you're, you know, flying through your closet, flying through your drawers. Where's my blue shirt? Darn it, I thought I had it before. Well, I guess I'll wear the green shirt. And then you're mad and then a tizzy. Or if you just walked outside nude, you didn't have to worry about any of that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Just warm when it's cold. That's all you need to worry about. What jacket do I need?
as I've discussed with women before, they have even more issues because of what society has taught them. You have to have the right dress, the right color, the right style, the right size. Then you have to add earrings and maybe a bracelet, maybe a necklace, and put something in your hair, you know, a ribbon or whatever. And it just gets ridiculous. Well, again, if they had just, I'm opening the door, I'm walking out nude, just think of how much time they would have saved. We would have saved too, but they would have saved more, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And also, as we say, always say about the pressure society puts on women to look a certain way is just ridiculous. We struggle and fight against that all the time. All the images that we see in media, Instagram, we do follow a great person, which we met doing a photo shoot, and she'll do a picture first, an Instagram picture, and alongside it, she'll show a normal picture, non-Instagrammed. And just to try and get people to realize that it's not real. You don't, people don't look like this.
That's right. It's probably far less than 1% of the population. But as I tell people, you know, when you look at Hollywood or other places where they make movies, TV shows, yeah, those people look really good, but they've also had massive plastic surgery and people telling them, you're going to have this surgery if you want the role in this movie. And so they're medically enhanced, thousands, tens of thousands of dollars. And that's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Not only is it ridiculous to throw the money away, but you could be doing harm to your body because it's not natural. I'm guessing you agree.
And it's also the, you know, they've got all their personal trainers, they've got all their dietitians, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. And, you know, Hollywood saying this is how you need to look to get your leading role. And
yeah, exactly, yeah, right.
It has no relevance to what actual people look like.
No. And that started, I don't know when it started for sure, but certainly when movies started coming out in the 30s, 40s, 50s, you had all these beauty queens, these pinup queens. You had to have, you know, a guy at work. You had to have the calendar with various movie star women, you know, in scantily clothed. And then a woman would walk in and see that calendar of all these perfectly shaped women and say, well, I could never look like that. My answer always is, well, you're right. Unless you're willing to spend $200,000 every year getting the surgery that they get and whatever else goes on. And so let's not worry about that. Let's just enjoy, as I say all the time, clothes for your living for all the right reasons. You don't have to worry about that junk. Easier said than done, though, right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's talk. We're talking to Mike Discombe this morning. He of the Michael and Fiona team, or Fiona and Mike, depending on how they want to put it out there. And they run this Naturist Boat Hotel. That's right. It's a hotel on a boat, clothes free, if you choose to do that. And it's my understanding you also let people keep their clothes on if they prefer. But how did that come to be, Mike? How did you decide, you know, let's go ahead and buy this boat, fix it up like a hotel. We'll take people for rides to the canal systems, and it'll be great. How'd that come to be?
So about a year ago, we came back from traveling, and we were sort of looking for something else to do. We lived in the camper van for 2 years, and Fiona said, I wanted more space.
That's right.
The property market in the UK is horrendously expensive at the moment, and we didn't want to put ourselves into a huge amount of debt to do something. And we started looking around and saw a canal boat and thought, ooh, how about that for somewhere to live? And as we looked at different ones, we sort of went and had a look at another one, and it was sort of, ooh, this one's big enough to make so we could have guests on board. Ooh, we could charge guests. And it sort of evolved from that sort of simple idea. And then from there, we sort of, you know, sort of worked out where we wanted to be roughly in the world. We sort of returned to Wiltshire because we used to live in Wiltshire. And luckily the canal runs straight through the middle of Wiltshire. So that worked out quite well. So that's how it all came about, really. And then obviously with us being naturists, we welcome naturist guests on board whenever possible.
Absolutely. Now, in addition to running the Naturist Hotel on a boat, while they're on the boat, you know, talking to Fiona, you guys basically do all of the cooking for them. So it's not just a place to stay. It's a place to stay and be taken care of, including your yoga classes and her massage sessions, if they so desire, right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, we do everything on board the boat. We also try and park up at nice places to go for a walk and enjoy the Wiltshire countryside, because if you're not experienced it, Wiltshire is a beautiful county with lots of green rolling hills, which is why we have all the rain.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Well, it's been great to meet you this morning. Sorry we didn't meet you before when Fiona was on, but we did want to get you on the show, and then we'll have you on down the road for a longer interview. But before we let you go, how can people get a hold of you and Fiona and maybe book a trip on your narrow boat hotel?
Yeah, so the best way is through our website, nakedtravels.net. We've got our social media presence as well on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook group, Blue Sky as well. And that's all Naked Travels One. And we give regular updates to what we're doing on there and post sort of pictures and stuff as well.
All right. As I recall, I think you have some videos on Vimeo. Is that where I went?
Yeah. We've got our Vimeo channel as well. Unfortunately, we did have a YouTube, but YouTube kept taking us down, so we've given up on YouTube. Yeah, right, yeah. And we've also got our Patreon account, which is where we show our latest videos and extended videos as well.
Okay. Well, very good to talk to you and meet you this morning. We've been talking to Michael Discombe. He of the Mike and Fiona team, or Fiona and Mike, in their Narrow Boat Hotel. Check it out. And Michael Discombe, go out there and have a great close-free day. We'll talk again soon.
And you. Take care. Thank you very much.
Thank you. If I ever get to the UK, the Narrowboat Hotel will be high on my list. And we thank Mike Discombe. We'll have him on in a few months for a longer interview and get the whole story behind his life, his journey into naturism, the Narrowboat Hotel, and everything else. And we thank Mike Discombe for all of his time on today's show. You are listening to Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, episode 41. Hope you're having a great hour with us. We certainly are with you. And as you can tell by the music that is sneaking in on us ever so slowly, it's time for the great, the terrific, the one and only, our naturism correspondent, Lisa Monroe. Here she is waltzing in this time, the very terrific, the over-the-top, clothes-free, and very happy, smiling Lisa Monroe. Good morning, Lisa. How are you today?
Good morning, Frank. I am doing really well today.
I didn't know that you could dance the waltz. I've seen disco. I've seen various dances that, like hip-hop, you're pretty good at that. But waltz, that's kind of old-fashioned. You dug that out of the archives.
Well, you know, that's how I learned when I was a small child in dance class. You know, you had to learn to dance the waltz. And actually, it's a beautiful dance and it's fun to do. But finding people who have any desire for it, you know, short of ballrooms, dancing, no, but it's fun.
Desire or knowledge how to actually do it. That's one of those things that have gone by the wayside. But we'll save that for another day.
Exactly.
Another short segment for us today. We got a tweet, a DM from a gentleman named Dan, all about the Bear Meadows Naturist Campground up in Calgary. And this summer, between July 4th and the 15th, they're doing a 12-day campout for anybody who wants to go to the Calgary Stampede. I'm going to ask you what that is in a moment. But if you want to stay somewhere close to the Calgary Stampede and be nude, you can do it there. And the price is $35 a night for an RV and $25 a night if you have a tent. We're going to have Dan and his wife on the show prior to that event. But first of all, what is the Calgary Stampede?
To the best of my knowledge, the Calgary Stampede is like the world's biggest indoor rodeo.
Oh, okay.
That part of Canada is very sort of like the western part of the United States. That's very common kind of recreation for them. And, you know, it's like going to Texas. So that's what I understand it's going to be. And what I hear, this thing's going to be, you know, it's a really big event. A lot of entertainment, a lot of, you know, different things going on in addition to the rodeo events.
Okay. Well, he said in his note, we host a nude family-friendly camp out once a month in the summer. So apparently this is not their first rodeo, pun intended.
Oh, you're so clever.
I try. But this year, July 4th, everybody in America knows the 4th of July is a big deal. But July 4th to the 15th, a 12-day campout. So you can go to this Calgary Stampede and enjoy yourself as much as you want. And then you have a place to go at night or the next day. Maybe you don't attend the Stampede and you just enjoy the facilities that they have. And again, it's a family-friendly nudist camp. So it's basically the way we like it. So we wanted to give them their props and some early advertisement for them. Again, that's July 4th to the 15th, and it's baremeadows.ca is the link to their website. And again, that's Dan and his wife. Have you ever been to a rodeo before, just out of curiosity?
Years ago, when I was a small child in South Carolina, they had a rodeo come through, and it was more, to me, it was more like a circus environment than it was, you know, a rodeo. So, but that's it. And I was very little. So not since then.
Yeah, I've been to similar ones, not the really hardcore rodeo, mm-hmm. you know, events that people like to go to in various parts of the world, but more tailored down to people who live in the suburbs.
Yeah.
The city people, here's a rodeo. It's like 1% of what really goes on.
Right.
But it can be fun. And if you enjoy that, there's nothing wrong with that, right?
I always liked the clowns because I thought, you know, because that's probably the toughest job that there is in a rodeo. I mean, the guys who are riding, you know, bulls and stuff can get really hurt. But the rodeo clowns are the ones who keep them from getting killed often and distract the creatures. So I always found them to be kind of fun to watch because, you know, it was they were funny and they acted funny. But when they needed to be, they did their job.
Yeah. Did you ever, I can't think of the name of the movie. It starred Deborah Winger. It's probably at least 30 years old. It was a mechanical bull in a bar somewhere. Do you remember that movie?
I believe that is called Urban Cowboy.
Oh, that's right. Yes. I remember that. Yeah. And apparently those are real deals. It was a big fad there for a while. Every bar had to have a mechanical bull. I never tried one. Did you?
I certainly never tried one. I like fast cars, but I'm not sure I like fast bulls.
Yeah, exactly. I think when I see people getting thrown off and the next day you see them in a cast or two or three, that's incentive enough to, you know, Frank, I don't think so. Just enjoy, let them enjoy it. And if they get good at it, fine. But I like, you know, coffee on the back deck, enjoying the sun, clothes free, as opposed to getting tossed on a hard floor.
Oh, exactly. And I mean, I think we should take a cue here from Urban Cowboy, because most urban boys are not going to be good at being a cowboy. You're just not going to have the experience. So, but it was a fun movie.
That's right. All right. Unfortunately, we have to go a little early today. We want to remind you, check this out. Family friendly campout, baremeadows.ca, July 4th to the 15th. We'll have Dan and his wife on as we get closer to the Calgary Stampede. And Lisa Monroe, go out there and have a great close free week. We'll talk to you next time.
You too, Frank. Take care. And we'll see you on the next show.
All right. Sounds good. The terrific Lisa Monroe, always dancing around, singing a tune of some sort, always clothes-free, always happy and smiling, brings sunshine to the studio, and we thank her for all of her time on today's show. You are listening to Naked Nudist and Naturist, episode 41. Hope you're enjoying the show. Hope you're enjoying your time with us together. We enjoy the time with you. We literally look forward to this all week long. We're not just kidding when we say that. We talk all week, okay? 6 o'clock a.m. Saturday Eastern Time is coming up, and we can spend some time with our naturist friends around the world. How about that? Well, let's get to part two now of my interview with the very terrific and highly prolific author on many topics, but also naturist fiction, Paul Z. Walker. He also collaborates with Will Forrest and Ted Bunn in their naturist anthologies. Part two of my interview with Paul Z. Walker. Well, we have one in the United States called Black's Beach. It's out by San Diego, Southern California. I've never been there, but I know people who went there back in the 70s and 80s. So what I'm about to say is a 70s or 80s story. I don't know if it's changed at all, but it was well known as a place where men went to get nude and frolic around and have a good time, you know, clothes-free living. But women would show up and keep their clothes on. And they only went there to see all of the naked men. Now, that's totally different than naturism. That's gawking, like you mentioned. And it can get inappropriate quickly if people aren't careful about it. So I'm glad you got them off there, because that's not what it's there for. It's not a sideshow. You're not selling tickets. Or maybe you should sell tickets. You can make a lot of money, and then you could afford that house in Australia.
Oh, that's an idea. Yeah. Maybe next time, and we have such an encounter with people, then we start thinking about that. I'll print some tickets.
That's right. Sell refreshments. You could make a whole industry out of this, Paul Z. Walker. Never thought of that before. Well, you have also on your website the Emma Nelson Mysteries. That appears to be all naturism. Is that correct?
It is correct. Yes, yeah, it's something I just had to try. I'm always experimenting with new genres to write. A mystery was something I've never done before. Mystery is also very difficult to write because, contrary to normal life, in a mystery story, everything has to fit and everything has to be tied up.
Yeah.
Yep. In real life, there is something you don't know what happens. And even at the end of your life, you still don't know what happened. But in a story, in a mystery story, everything has to fit. Yeah. And I just wanted to try that. And then I wrote the first Emma Nelson story, and people jumped on it.
Wow.
Apparently, mysteries is a very interesting and very wanted genre.
Mm-hmm.
So after seeing so many sales of those books, there really were many sales, I decided to write the second one and the third one and the fourth one. And now I'm contemplating on how to get on with the fifth one.
Wow, very good. Yeah, I know a lot of folks heavily into mysteries, and part of the draw of that is that from page one, they're trying to figure out where you're going and the old whodunit. Okay, how about this person? Oh, it could be him. No, I'm sure it's him. And as long as you're able to string them along to the end before you reveal the information, which I know you can do, oh yeah, you'll have big crowds for your mysteries forever. And then when we get to naturism in books, in this case, in fiction, I've noticed two different types. I am not a naturist fiction author, so I'm not speaking from authority, but I've noticed two different types. There's the one type of so-called naturism fiction where it seems like every other sentence they're mentioning a part of the human anatomy that is a part of the sexual organs. Okay, you know, she, her, this, that, and this, that, you know, it just, okay, folks, we understand, you know, they're naked. We know that because that's why we bought the book. But then there are books like yours, you just don't mention that every other word. So what's the trick to making a naturist fiction, maybe a naturist mystery, into a mystery where people aren't putting it down after the second page saying, well, this is disgusting. This is not naturism.
What I did with Emma Nelson is I added a little bit of fantasy to it because I just felt it needed that. Emma had to get an ability to see through walls. The way she gets that, I leave that for people to figure out by reading the book. But the way it works is only when she's naked.
Mm.
So she has to take off her clothes to find that out. She discovers it when she's in the shower and she leans against the wall and then she can look through the wall, which frightens her like crazy, of course, because she hadn't expected anything of that.
Right.
And then she finds out, she tells a friend, and via someone from the police hears that. And then she is asked to help with police work. And from that, she becomes a police officer and gets into special cases with her ability.
Wow.
And there are a few colleagues from her who know about her ability and that she has to be naked. And then she gets assigned a partner who is a naturist.
Oh, well, there you go. That's how you incorporate it. You're not just blatant, you know, she's naked and her blank looks like this and her other things look like this. That's just disgusting material. That's more closer to porn related, some of the ones I've read out there. But they call it naturist. You know, you go on these bookseller websites and naturist fiction and you get that junk mixed in with your high quality stuff. Any way to differentiate that by the companies, or what do you think?
I think it's difficult because you have to dive into a book before you know what you get. And if the description of a book doesn't mention anything of that junk, as you say very correctly, you fall for it, you buy it, and then you're, oh my God, what did I buy? I want to get rid of this as fast as I can.
Yeah,
I don't want that. I want quality stuff, just like Ted is writing, like Will is writing, like Robert Longpre, who was the first one who joined with Will and me to set up Naturist Fiction. He stepped out and Ted stepped in. We want to create real fiction, not porn, not sleaze. No, we want to get real stories, enticing stories. People have to be dragged in by the eyeballs.
Yeah.
And that's important. And keeping the naturism at bay, just mentioning that they put their clothes on. Yeah. Oh, yes, they were naked.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of they were naked this and they were naked that and they were naked here and they were naked there. Good grief, I know they're naked. When do you get to your bloody point?
Yeah, because it said nature is fiction right on the cover. So, okay, we know they're naked going in before we even read the table of contents, if there is one, for example.
Yes.
Well, that's great. Now, what about your, we're talking to Paul Z. Walker, author from the Netherlands, talking about his naturist books, but what about your non-naturist books? You have an actually more of those than naturist books. What are you doing there, and how are those going for you, and what are you looking to do?
I started writing. Well, actually, I started publishing under pressure. Okay. That was really weird. I was a member of a mailing group online in 2010, and there was a little competition. We're going to write a 25,000-word story in a week. That sounds interesting. When do we start? Tomorrow. Oh, what should I write about? Figure that out yourself. So I came up with a Wicked Witch. It turned into a very funny story. People immediately started asking for story number two. And someone else said, when are you going to publish this? I'm not publishing this. Yes, you are going to publish this. When are you going to publish this? If you hear that for 3 weeks every day, you just publish it.
Yeah.
I just created a quick cover. I figured out, how do I publish this? Okay, it's published. Now get off my back. That series turned into 26 books. I'm working on number 27 at the moment. Wow. I wrote several other fantasy, steampunk, and science fiction books. I do have to say that the naturist fiction books move a lot more. There are more naturist readers in my following than non-naturist readers.
Wow.
Which surprised me totally.
Well, I wonder if some of it is there's not a tremendous amount of high quality naturist fiction out there. So when somebody like yourself comes along, or Will or Ted or some others out there, people grab onto it. Like, hey, here's what we've been looking for. We wish 1,000 people wrote this way, but at least we have these three, you know, a handful of more we mm-hmm. know about. Do you think that's part of it? Is just people are hungry
so.
For it?
Yeah. Yes, I think so. People want to read in a genre which resounds with them. It clicks with them. This is how we are, and this is a story about us.
Yeah.
Okay, not exactly them, but it's about us, about our way of life, about our being naked and things happen.
Yeah.
And that's important, I think, because I'm a naturist. I can write naturist fiction. I've once read a naturist fiction story by a non-naturist, and it was, oh, no, please stop. Yeah. Go away. I hate this.
Well, we found the same with this show, you know, Naked Nudists and Naturists. There aren't a lot of them out there. There are some. There's a handful. So when we came along, and, you know, I've been a naturist nudist since birth, literally, and just never got around to putting clothes on, except when I really, really had to, you know, school, things like that. And I've been in radio forever, just never combined the two. I thought, well, you know, if we combine the two, will there be an audience for it? And almost immediately people came flocking, like, yes, thank you. You know, we need more of you. And, you know, the numbers are off the charts, kind of like your numbers are off the charts because of that. We're giving people what they want because they weren't getting enough of it before. They were getting a lot, just like they were getting a lot of naturist fiction before you came along, but not enough to satisfy their needs. So I think, this is my personal opinion, not that I'm an expert in selling books, but I think that's part of it. People were starved for what you offer. And when you came along, it's like, okay, here we go. Sign me up for Paul Z. Walker's mailing list, and let's get those books flying here.
Yes, I think so too, because what I find when I listen to your show, it's consistent quality. There are lots of naturist podcasts that I found, and they live for 2 months, 3 months, half a year. One of the previous episodes I heard, you said, making a good show is a lot of work, and people mm-hmm. don't know that when they get into it. After 4 or 5 shows, they say, oh my God, it's so much work. I can't do this.
Well, you're right.
And just the same thing with books. You have to deliver constant quality.
Yeah.
Even try to improve every time when you do something.
Yeah. Yes, that's exactly what we do here too. And you're right about the consistency. There are lots of little things, which I won't define here because we don't want to give away secrets. Just like you don't want to give your writing secrets away. But there are lots of little things that we do every single show that add to that consistency. So when people hear us, it's like, okay, yeah, there we go. There's Frank. There's Lisa. There's a theme song. I know what I'm going to get for the next hour. There will be no surprises. There won't be some wild talk for, you know, 35 minutes about sports or a new car Frank got. We're going to be talking about naturism here, and it's going to be down to the nitty-gritty and the core. And they're either going to learn something, or it's going to enhance the knowledge they already have. And then they're going to come back the next week. And part of that, too, is we deliver a brand new show every single Saturday. So they don't mm-hmm. have to say, okay, we got a show today. Hopefully in the next 6 years, he'll publish another one. No, it's every Saturday. You know where we're at. You know how to find us. And you're right. There was one show, I don't remember the name. It's probably just as well. They literally, a podcast, they published a 1 minute introduction, which is kind of normal for a lot of people. Spotify or used to be Anchor would tell you that. 1 minute blurb about what your show is going to be about. They did the 1 minute blurb and we never heard from them again. So even a 1 minute show was too much work.
Yes. I understand that because like you have to prepare everything. You have to find the right people, the right time, the whole thing, the talks with Lisa about what are the topics for naturism now, what's coming up, what's coming down. The same thing is happening for me. I try to be a little bit into the present with several of my stories. I want to keep the things consistent. I don't want to mix up things between stories. If someone has blue eyes in book one, they will have to have blue eyes in book five.
Sure.
Things like that, the details.
Yeah. Very similar to what I was just talking about. Lots of little things that you have to be aware of as the writer and you have to manage, and you cannot get them wrong because your readers will notice. If you change the eyes to brown in book five because you just forgot, I guarantee you'll get a host of emails. Hey, Paul, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And, I know. You don't want that.
Nope. I have noticed that with some stories, I spend sometimes more time taking notes and revising notes than writing.
Yeah, I'll bet. Because
now I'm writing book 13 for the Naked Crow series. I don't remember what happened in book 2 or 3 or 4 or 5. I really have to go back. What was that? I remember there was the name of a spirit. What the hell was that spirit called? I have to go back. I don't want to get that wrong.
Well, and I guarantee your readers remember what that spirit was called.
Yes.
There's no doubt. If you had the phone number of all your readers, you could say, hey, you know, so-and-so in France, what was that one spirit called? Oh, yeah, thank you.
Yep.
That's what you have a very devoted fan base. And again, I think a lot of it comes back to obviously high quality writing. Let's start with that. Everything begins and ends with high quality. If you're not high quality, you might as well just forget it. But on top of that, you're consistent. They know what they're going to get from you, and they like what they get from you. And I don't know, do you have a mailing list or an email list where if a new book comes out, you can send notifications right away? Or
yes, there is. I have a link on that for my website that people can get notified for new posts on the blog, and they can get an email when a new book comes out.
Yeah, and I won't ask you the numbers, but I'm guaranteed that's a fairly significant number because people want to know.
Yes.
Okay, it's, you know, whatever day of the week it is, whatever month. Oh, I got an email today from Paul Z. Walker, new book out. You know, honey, go order that book now. Mm-hmm. Let's get our hands on it. So that's great to hear.
And I can notice that too, because usually I don't publish a book the day it comes out. I put it on the e-shelves a few weeks in advance, and people can look at it, look at the text, what it's about, and they can pre-order it. When I look at the pre-ordering numbers, wow.
Yeah, yeah. They're ordering a book they don't even know anything about yet, or very little.
Yes. When I brought out Nude in Space number 3, it's called The Station, there were over 100 pre-orders.
Wow.
That's serious numbers.
Yeah.
For absolutely. A hobby writer, because I work in IT. I hope I write my books for a hobby. It's not to get rich off, but 100 books, holy crap.
Yeah, that's quite a bit. And I don't know, do you do any writing for your IT job? I know some do and some do not, depending on what exactly you do. But if you do writing, I'm guessing it's on the technical side, right?
Yes, it's mostly technical documentation, manuals for customers. I do first line support, so I'm very good at writing manuals, adding lots of pictures, and using simple words. Yeah. That's important.
So they can understand. That's right. Well, looking at your website, we want to get to the anthologies in just a moment that you and Ted and Will are turning out. I know there's another one coming up later this year in 2024. But on your website, just about every page I go to, there is a photo at the top of each page of naturist people enjoying clothes for a living for all the right reasons. Just out of curiosity, where do these photos come from? Are these you and people you know? Are they photos you bought, or where do they come from?
Usually they are photos from people I know or people I buy.
Okay.
Because I don't want to offend anyone. I don't want to offend copyright stuff. I'm doing my best to keep things nice and legal and official and appreciative and I don't want any fuss.
Yeah, no, that's very smart. That's exactly the way to do it. And as I recall, I don't have the homepage in front of me, but isn't there a photo of you living the clothes-free life on your homepage, on your website?
Yes, there is. Yeah,
I thought so.
Because this is how I am. This is who I am. And it's how I prefer to write my stories. When I write about nude people, I want to be nude. I don't want to be restrained in clothes.
Yeah, right. There's probably no better advertisement for a naturist writer than to be in his naturist state on his website, right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Suppose I was wearing a tuxedo. What kind of naturist? No, this must be a naturalist website. Sorry, let's move on.
Or you had 3 shirts on and 17 pairs of pants. Like, hey, wait a second here. What's going on?
Yeah, he's been shopping and forgot to pay the maybe 16 other pants, right?
That's right. We're talking to Paul Z. Walker from the Netherlands, a terrific author. A lot of naturist books out there, a lot of non-naturist books. And you're also involved in this anthology group with Will Forrest and Ted Bunn, both of whom have been on this show before, as you know. So what's going on with that? What is your role? And I know they've described it to us before, but maybe from your words, what do you do for the group and what's going on with the latest book?
Well, I'm actually the one who started Naturist Fiction. Will and Robert, whom I mentioned earlier, Robert Longpre from Canada, we always had good communication through Twitter, through email. And at some point I had the idea of, why don't we start a naturist fiction blog? Because we write books, but we need a way to make advertisement without doing advertisement. We want to inform people what it takes to write naturist fiction, what is connected to it. How can we announce new books without going crazy? So I set up naturistfiction.org. We all wrote a post every week. So 1 week Will, 1 week Robert, 1 week me. Then at some point, Robert stepped out because he thought he was getting a bit up in age and he was doing other things. Ted stepped in. Wonderful. We reduced the number of posts to 1 every 2 weeks. And at some point, I had this crazy idea to start these anthologies. I said, why don't we try and find some people who write stories for an anthology? Yeah, okay, that's nice, but how would we call it? Oh, wow, why don't we call it Murder in the Nudist Colony? And then, what? Nudist Colony? Are you crazy? Yeah. That's an old-fashioned word. That's not exactly, that's the charm of it. A little throwback to how things were from now.
That's right.
And we got quite a number of entries, and it turned out so well that we decided we need to do another one.
Yeah. Well, I would imagine a title like Murder in the Nudist Colony gets everybody's attention. You're talking, you got nudist in there, you got murder, and as you mentioned, you got the word colony in there, all in one quick, short title. So got people's attention, right?
Yes, it did. It worked very well. Linda Weber, you spoke to her. She's a very great advertisement company for our books.
Yeah.
So also for the second one, Romance in the Nudist Colony, then we had Adventure in the Nudist Colony or Mystery, I don't remember.
Yeah.
The last one that we put out was Adventure Without Clothes. Mm-hmm. That was actually something we didn't really plan, but at some point we just had to do something else because it's doing so well. Also, the money that we get from all these books is going to Doctors Without Borders, which was a great idea. And we have to do more of this.
Yeah.
And now we're working on a new book, Beneath Healing Skies.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of interested people already.
Wow, very good. I remember, I think it was Will we had on who was promoting the various deadlines. And the deadline to show interest is long past. But those who have shown interest have, I want to say, till May 1st to get their manuscript to you.
Yes.
Is that about right?
Yeah. Okay. Yes. And for Will and Ted do the most of the proofreading, and I will read over them. And I've offered always to do the formatting, so every story looks consistent in the book.
Yeah.
And then we have a great person called Fabien from Canada, and he always offers to do the covers for the books for free because it's such a great cause, supporting a really important group of people.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Linda Weber a few moments ago. Not only does she promote you guys a lot in your anthologies, but she actually wrote stories for at least one or two or three of them, right?
Yes, she did. Yeah. Indeed. Linda is awesome. Really awesome. I wrote 2 books about superheroes. naked superheroes, because this was something else I'd never tried before. And then when I had one of the first story done, I needed models for the cover. Linda is on the first two books on the cover.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yes. Linda and a friend of mine in the Netherlands, Wouter, they generously offered to send in pictures. Just tell us what you need and we'll take pictures of us and you can make a cover of it.
Oh, that's great. So you actually use photos, or did you turn the photos into drawings, or how did that work?
No, I use photos, and I use an open source program called GIMP, G-I-M-P, and I combine several photos into one image, which goes on the cover.
Wow, that's great. Well, you do absolutely amazing work, and we've been looking forward to this conversation for a long time, especially after we talked to Will and then Ted, and we heard another anthology is coming out. And we checked your work out fairly early on in our time here. And it was just a matter of time before we could, you know, find the time together to get here for this. And so what's next for you? Now, what's next in the next week, the next month, the next year? What kind of things are you working on?
I wrote a story called Dragon House. I'm going to publish that in a naturist and a non-naturist version.
Okay.
It was really mind-boggling to write that. I have asked someone I know to create two covers for it, because the titles will differ a little bit, because otherwise I have two books called Dragon House and that would be silly.
Right.
So the naturist version will be called Dragon Lord, Dragon Lady, I think, or Dragon Lady, Dragon Lord, whatever. And the non-naturist version will probably be Dragon House. Or was it the other way around? Whatever. I'm also working on a children's book called Witch Kids. It's naturist children book. And a friend of mine in America has a daughter who works as a librarian. Okay. They know lots of naturist children. I sent her the first three or four chapters just to see if the tone of the story was working for kids in sixth or seventh grade. And they loved it.
Oh, that's great.
So that's in the works as well. I finished most of the editing on that. And for the rest, I'm still working on too many stories.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned naturist children. It's been my experience. Every kid is a naturist. That's just how they enjoy life. It's only when adults come in and say, hey, you got to put some clothes on, then it goes away. If the adults would just be quiet.
Yes.
We'd be good to go. And those kids would grow up to be adults and they'd pass it along to their kids. And maybe that's the trick and the answer to everything, right?
I think so too, because when I'm at our nude beach, often there are kids around and little kids, you name the age and they are there. And I can vouch that those kids have more fun with simpler things than the dressed kids with the most expensive toys and the most complicated playgrounds and whatever. Just give these naked kids a ball or a swimming tire ring, something, throw them in the water, make sure they don't drown, and they're having a blast.
It's amazing how that works. And that's exactly how I grew up. We had a number of families on the street. And to me, this was normal growing up. Turns out it's really not normal at all. But for that street, it was, you know, a lot of naturist families. And we'd get together and the kids would just, you know, we'd play baseball in the nude. Not to be cool or risky, or it was just what we did. We were already nude. So, hey, what do you want to do? You want to play chess? You want to play ping pong? How about some baseball?
Yeah,
and
sure.
It was totally normal. We did that actually through the first couple of years of college. And then a lot of the guys started moving away. They took jobs in other states and, you know, we just didn't get together after that. But totally normal, because nobody ever told us to put clothes on, except when we went to school or church or the store or whatever.
Exactly.
Otherwise, that's why we say clothes-free living for all the right reasons. You're just enjoying life the way it was intended to be, right?
Exactly. That's also how I did my long, long walks on Lanzarote and Fuerteventura. Here we go again. Fuerteventura.
That's right.
Those are awesome islands. You can have hours of walking in the nude there without any problem. And when you get back, you don't feel sweaty or dirty or icky, because there is no clothing on you which keeps your sweat on your body. It evaporates. You don't smell.
Yeah.
You just take a shower because it feels good, but you don't really need it.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's almost as though that's how it was intended to be, going out on a limb there.
Yeah. Yes.
Great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've been talking to Paul Z. Walker. Now, Paul, we want to put your website out there. I'm afraid to try to pronounce it, so I'm going to let you handle that. Put your website out there. How can people get a hold of you? How can they find your books? Whatever you want to tell people, just go right ahead.
Okay, yeah. The name of my website is justme.org, which is a variation on just me, but it's using Z-J-U-Z-D-M-E instead of just, it's just. I just felt do crazy things.
You have a bit of a quirky sense of humor too, don't you? You might as well admit it now.
I do. Yes. Yeah. I won't even try to deny it. No. So via the website, there are links to emails, to contact forms. They can write to paul@justme.org. Go to the website to see how it's spelled and you'll find it. I'm on various social media. You can find me anywhere. Also, if you have troubles writing Just Me, go to naturistfiction.org. I'm there as well.
Yeah, and there's a link to get to your page from there.
Right? Yeah.
All right. Well, you're doing great work out there in the naturist community. Obviously, your naturist books, but also your non-naturist books. You're just a terrific writer, and it's been our pleasure to have had you on the show. And best wishes in all that you do personally, but also your work with Naturist Fiction and with Ted and Will. And let's definitely do this again, Paul. You know, as more books come out, as another series comes out, or the next 50 books in your Crow series come out, whatever you want, just get in touch with us and we'll get you back on. How's that sound?
That sounds wonderful. Thank you very much. And I'm very proud of being invited to this podcast. It's great to know that we're doing our best to promote the naturist living for all the right reasons. Paraphrase you, but I'm failing at that marvelously, of course. And it's great to know that many people are doing their thing to promote naturism, nudism, no naked life, whatever. Like you, Jennifer, Lisa, everyone. Thank you. Keep it up.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. Yeah, it is close to living for all the right reasons. Never inappropriate. But, you know, we've never been inappropriate when we have our clothes on either. It's, as I mentioned before, you can be grotesquely inappropriate when you're fully dressed, right?
Yes, this is why I consider naturism something to be between your ears as well.
Yeah, yeah.
It's in the mind. Well. It's not just the naked body, it's the naked mind.
Yeah, 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 very well said. Well, again, great to have had you on the show today. Let's definitely do this again. We don't need to wait forever. And even if you don't have time for a full interview, we can get you on to, you know, 5-10 minutes. Hey, you know, Paul Z. Walker is with us. He has another book or a series to promote. And let's do that down the road. Again, we've been talking to Paul Z. Walker. Check out his website. I'll give this a shot here, Paul. It's justme.org.
Wonderful. That kind of cool? Yes. Yeah, okay. Congratulations. I'll send you a diploma.
All right. Author Paul Z. Walker. Paul, go out there and have a great close for your day. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you very much. Talk to you. Boy. Goodbye, Si. Bye, Frank.
Thank you. The terrific Paul Z. Walker. I will just say this. If you haven't read a Paul Z. Walker book yet, then you're missing out. I would get my hands on one as quickly as possible, a physical book, an ebook, whatever he sells. Get one and enjoy it to the max. A very terrific writer. Lots of content out there. And of course, he's big in the naturism community, writes naturist fiction, collaborates with Will Forrest, Ted Bunn, and the naturist anthologies. And we thank Paul Z. Walker for all of his time on today's show. Don't forget to hit us up on Twitter. Also, write to us anytime, nakednudistandnaturist@gmail.com. We always enjoy hearing from the listeners. We always write back, and lots of great conversations going as we enjoy our time together on this show. Well, thank you for being with us on Naked, Nudist, and Naturist, episode 41 today. We give you a brand new show every Saturday morning at 6 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time. Continue to join us. Check us out on our website, nakednudistandnaturist.com. Spotify, Google, Amazon/Audible, Apple Podcasts, and also on Twitter. You can write us anywhere, anytime, any place. And we thank you for being with us today. Plan to join us for every single one of our shows here and have your clothes off when you're listening. We have our clothes off when we're broadcasting, enjoying the naturist life.
We celebrate clothes-free living for all. Remember to enjoy being naked and join us again for Naked, Nudist, and Naturist.
We drop a brand new show every Saturday morning, so come back and join us. Have your clothes off when you do for Naked, Nudist, and Naturist. Have a great clothes-free day.